Hello and welcome to this British Journal of Surgery podcast. I'm Wendy Barnaby and this podcast's about ways of treating varicose veins, a condition suffered by a quarter of the general population. This is the theme of the August 2011 issue of BJS. For most of the 20th century, varicose veins were treated by surgery with high ligation and stripping to knee level of the great saphenous vein. But in the 1990s, this began to change with the introduction of non-surgical treatments involving endovenous ablation of the vein. The first paper we'll hear about now compares all of these treatments. It's the first randomized trial to do so. It's called Randomized Clinical Trial Comparing Endovenous Laser Ablation, Radiofrequency Ablation, Foam Sclerotherapy, and Surgical Stripping for Great Saphenous Varicose Veins. And we're joined now by its senior co-author, vascular specialist Dr. Lars Rasmussen of the Danish Vein Center. Lars, can you please describe briefly the four different techniques that you compared in this study?
Basically, we compared thermal ablation consisting of laser and radiofrequency with foam and stripping.
It was important for you to carry out all of these procedures under local anaesthetic because surgery is generally carried out under general anaesthetic. And so by carrying them all out by local anaesthetic, you were able to get rid of any complications that might have been due to the anaesthesia itself. And there aren't many surgeons who perform standard varicose vein stripping under tumescent local anaesthesia, are there? Is it a difficult thing to do?
It's not very difficult. As a matter of fact, it is just as easy to perform stripping in Thomason local anesthesia as it is to perform thermal ablation. The only difference is that you have to add 40 milliliter Thomason solution in the groin in order to perform a painless high ligation. Basically, it takes the same amount of time as thermal ablation, and you save the expenses for general anesthesia.
So, Lars, what are the main findings of the study?
We found that the postoperative pain was significantly lower after closure fast and foam, and so was the time to work and normal function. Whereas patients treated with closure fast and foam could resume normal activities after one day, it took 2 and 4 days for the laser and stripping group, respectively. All treatments efficiently ablated the great saphenous vein, although in the foam group, about 16% of the DSVs were open and refluxing after 1 year, compared to only 5% in the other groups. Now, it's also important to realize that all treatments improve the quality of life and venous clinical severity score to the same degree.
You followed these patients up for a year after treatment. What results would you expect in the longer term?
We expect the DSV to stay away in most patients. There may be differences in the recurrence rate, though.
It seems as though foam treatment is something that you have perhaps again if it doesn't work perfectly the first time, whereas the other three are the sorts of treatments that you would expect to have only once.
I agree. We did only 4 cases extra foam treatments, but of course I would prefer to have it all done in one setting.
Lars, if you personally had symptomatic, uncomplicated varicose veins, how would you want them treated?
Well, there's no doubt about that. I would use thermal ablation with either closure fast or a third generation laser, which is a 1470 with a modified tip such as a radial fiber. Such treatments are almost similar with regards to postoperative recovery. And I would have it done, have it performed in Thomason local anesthesia under light sedation.
Well, that's a definite answer. Thank you, Lars, very much. The August BJS has a leading article written by vascular specialist Marianne de Messenier. She's at the Department of Dermatology at the Erasmus Medical Center, Rotterdam in the Netherlands, and she's also associate professor at the University of Antwerp in Belgium. Marianne, what do you think is the importance of the Rasmussen paper?
Well, I think this is a very important paper because it's the first time that 4 different treatment modalities have been compared in one adequately powered trial. There are also a few interesting points in this trial. The authors performed additional phlebectomies in all the cases, also in the group who underwent ultrasound-guided front sclerotherapy. And this is a rather unusual combination. But I think it's an interesting idea to combine this in one session. So I think this is a good thing to know. And then another point is that what is interesting is that preoperative duplex scan was performed very carefully in this study. When looking at the inclusion and exclusion criteria, you see that they took into account whether the anterior accessoris of venous vein was incompetent or not. And if it was incompetent, it was not included in the study. And this is something that is missing in many of the trials we have been looking at. And then there is also another point that modern varicose vein surgery can be performed with tumescent anesthesia, not in a blind way, but duplex-guided, and this results in excellent outcome. So I think the authors demonstrate well that this is feasible, and I'm convinced that we should move the varicose vein surgery out of the OR and move it to an ordinary treatment room, which will be, I think, the trend for the future.
In your leader, you're critical about the regulation of new ways of treating varicose veins. Do you think that the manufacturers of the various devices have an undue influence in leading the treatment that's given?
Well, I think they do have an influence. So on one hand, we need these manufacturers for development of innovative techniques, and I'm not against innovation, not at all, of course. But on the other hand, I think have to really take care that there is a continuous good technology assessment, and I think it's very important for the benefit of the patients and also for the whole society. So I think this should be our main concern, I guess.
Marianne, can you give us a very quick taste of the other highlights in this BJS Venus issue?
Yes, there are some interesting papers in this issue. For instance, one of a Dutch group by Disselhoff and co-workers, they report the 5-year results of a randomized controlled trial comparing endovenous laser ablation with a bare tip 810 nanometer laser, and they compare this with cryostripping. Cryostripping is a technique where a special probe is used to freeze the vein. So it's the contrary of thermal ablation. It's like freezing ablation at minus 80 degrees of Celsius. And the 5-year results are comparable in both groups when looking at the duplex results and at the quality of life afterwards. There was only a difference in the duplex anatomy, let's say, of the recurrence, where in the patients operated surgically, there was more neovascularization as could be expected. And then there is a paper by Caradise and colleagues from UK about the effect of venous disease upon quality of life. In this paper, they show worsening clinical grades from C1 to C6 strongly correspond with deterioration of disease-specific quality of life and also of generic quality of life as well.
Well, thank you for that, Marianne. And of course, you can guess the last question. If you personally had symptomatic, uncomplicated varicose veins, how would you have them treated?
That's a good question. First of all, I would like to have a good duplex diagnosis of my veins, because I think we really need to perform a la carte treatment in the future based on the duplex findings. So if I had great saphenous vein, for instance, smaller than, let's say, 7 millimeters, I would probably only have phlebectomies in a first time and see what is going on with my symptoms and with my great saphenous vein afterwards at the duplex scan. And if it's still refluxing but I don't have any complaints, I would just leave it like that. However, if my great saphenous vein trunk was larger than 7 or 8 or something like that, then I would have thermal ablation with additional phlebectomies at the same moment. Very important, I would like to choose the surgeon who would operate on me. That would be very important for me.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Marianne. And thank you too to Lars. And that's all from this BJS podcast. We hope you'll join us again.